Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Samson was an incredibly powerful man who judged Israel for two decades. With his bare hands, he was able to fight wild animals, including taking on a young lion. He impressed everyone and became known during this time when the Philistines opposed the children of Israel. Samson challenged the Philistine in ways that today would be called animal cruelty, capturing foxes and tying them tail to tail, and then attaching a burning flame to those tails, causing the foxes to run through the farm fields, igniting the crops of fire. Samson's strength increased and seemed to be unstoppable. The determination to kill Samson increased. And one night when Samson decided to spend the night with a harlot in the city, the people saw their chance and determined to lock Samson in overnight and kill him the next day when he left. What they didn't count on was that Samson arose at midnight and smashed his way through the city gate, taking the gate with him all the way to a hill outside the city. Judges 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they come past him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and rose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. His attention was soon drawn to a woman whose name was Delilah, and the Philistine leaders came to her, begging her to entice him so they could learn where Samson's great and incredible strength came from. She was promised a good sum of money from each of the leaders to help them, and Delilah decided to take them up on their offer. She directly asked Samson where his strength came from, and Samson began to tease her. First, he told her that his strength came from not having seven green ropes bound around him, and when that was tried, everyone quickly found out that Samson still had his strength. Verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with seven green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak, and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her seven green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound them with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes, as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. Delilah confronted Samson over the lie, and Samson led her astray again this time, telling her that because he was never bound in ropes, that had never bound up a man before, he had his strength. And again, Samson was able to escape the trap that was set before him. Once again, Delilah confronted Samson, who told her that if the locks of his hair were weaved together, he would lose his strength. And once again, Samson was able to escape from that trap. Verse 10. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak, and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes, and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them off from his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with a pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam, and with the web. Delilah continued to pester Samson, and that went on for many days, until Samson finally told her that his strength came from not having his head shaved. That night, when Samson fell asleep in her lap, she had one of the Philistines shave off his head, and Samson's strength went away immediately. Verse 15. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Having lost his strength while asleep, this time Samson was not able to escape the trap that was set before him. The Philistines took Samson's eyes out and brought him to a prison in Gaza. Verse 20. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as the other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Samson's strength came from being a Nazarite to God since birth, and having revealed his secret to a person who secretly wanted his destruction, Samson's life would soon come to an end. Earlier, when the children of Israel departed Egypt and witnessed the destruction of the pursuing Egyptian army in the Red Sea, they recognized God as the source of their strength. They not only recognized God as the source of their strength, but the reason for their joy in singing, the source of their salvation, and in return, they promised to exalt God, knowing that God defeated the army pursuing them. Exodus 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. It is God that has strength and power, whose strength and power never fails. It is through God's might that all is created, knowing that God has never-ending strength and power, and that through God all is created, we should never be like the children of Israel who became disconnected from God and who could not see the power of God working in their lives. If we look around and see a world wondering where God is, we need to consider that, like the children of Israel, the problem is with us, the people of earth, and not with God. God can restore power to the faint and give strength to the weak if we wait upon God and lean not on our own understanding. God will bless those who wait on him so much that to others it will seem like their strength is unstoppable, and like an eagle, a powerful bird of prey, seeming to defy what we think of as normal limitations. Isaiah 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall be faint and weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When Moses was approaching the end of his life, he reflected on his age and shared with Israel that God would not have him enter the promised land. Instead, through the power of God, God would enter the promised land before the children of Israel, using his power to destroy the nations ahead of time to make the possession of the promised land an easier feat. Because the strength of God was with the children of Israel, Joshua was told by Moses to be strong and of good courage, and to never have fear or be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. The world in which we live, by and far, doesn't have the regard for God that Moses told Joshua to have. Joshua had been told by Moses to be strong and of good courage, to have no fear, and to not be dismayed because God would go before them to fight for the promised land. As Christians today spiritually fight for the promised land of the kingdom of God, we know that God goes before us to defeat our spiritual enemies today. But the world in which we live, which doesn't have the regard for God that we have, doesn't understand that comfort, and in many instances does not even acknowledge that God exists. As a result, the world in which we live tends to fear more, tends to be dismayed more, tends not to be strong, and tends to lack courage. Think back to the recent COVID-19 pandemic. Did the world generally react from a position that God is the creator who will spiritually fight for us? Or did the world react from a position of fear and dismay? Many in the world in which we live deny the spiritual existence of God, focusing only on what they can see with their eyes, even though we know that everything that we can see with our eyes is confirmation to us of the existence of God. Instead of worshiping God as the creator, they worship what is created, not understanding that worshiping the creation is ungodly and unrighteous. They have changed the truth of God into a lie. Instead of worshiping the creator for what has been given us, they worship what has been given us, ignoring the creator and frequently claiming the creator does not exist. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The strength of God is a recurring theme throughout the book of Psalms. David wrote that God responded to his requests and was a strength and shield, meaning for David, God was the source of his offensive and defensive capabilities. God gave David the power to take action and also protected David from the evil acts of others. Psalm 28, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. David also wrote that God's goodness is great to those who fear and trust him. Part of the way that God shields those who fear and trust in him is to keep his people hidden from those who are motivated by selfish pride and ambition, who through words seek the destruction of others. Those who fear and trust God need to remember that God will preserve the faithful, even when the faithful live in a strong city. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of the presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Asaph, one of the Levites placed in charge of singing at the temple, wrote how God was the strength of his heart. Imagine how powerful it is when God is the strength behind our physical life and the emotions of that life. Asaph diligently sought God, and so must we. He also recognized that those who depart from God will perish, that we must stay close to God, trusting in God, and declaring all that God does. Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. God is not only the source of our strength. With the strength we have, we must also love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We cannot be weak in our love of God. We must also love fellow man as we love ourselves. Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. With God as the source of our strength, we should live a life that has less worry and concern about what happens to us on earth. Jesus taught the disciples to first seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and our needs will be provided. With God as the source of our strength, Jesus taught not to be concerned about things like what we eat and drink or the clothes we wear. He taught that if God is concerned about life here on earth, how much more will God be concerned about the life of his people who seek his righteousness and his kingdom? Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, but what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of a little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus also taught his disciples that when we consider the life that we have and the needs we have, to think in terms of the power of God, the strength of God, wherewith God all things are possible and nothing is impossible. When it comes to seeing God as the source of our strength, we cannot limit God as we might limit a man, because all people have limitations. God lives in the spiritual realm beyond any limitation that any physical man may have. Matthew 19, verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The message that drives our faith, that Jesus died and was resurrected so that sin could be forgiven and so that we can have eternal life, to us is a source of incredible power, a source of our strength. Those who are not called think of the hope that we have as a source of foolishness. We know the hope that we have brings to us incredible strength through the power of God. Paul very well knew he was not called to be an apostle, to reason with people using carefully constructed words, but to preach the gospel so that this power that we have, the source of our strength through the power of God, can be shared with others. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is sent to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Paul also reminded the Corinthians to be strong, much like Moses told Joshua to be strong and of good courage. He told them to stand fast in the faith, and standing fast in the faith only happens when we know that the power of God is the source of our strength. He then reminded them that even with this strength that comes from the power of God, that what we do is to be done with love. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. He told the Corinthians to look at those things which we cannot see, those things which are eternal, knowing that day by day God renews our strength, even though day by day we all physically age. The incredible gift that we have been given, eternal life, through the forgiveness of sin that came to us by the death and resurrection of Jesus, should give us hope and confidence to stand strong and not faint. Always aware of our day-to-day troubles, but also knowing those troubles are nothing more than a light affliction that does not compare to the eternal life that awaits us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We cannot look at our human weaknesses and then consider that because of our human weaknesses, the strength of God is diminished. God's strength is made perfect in human weakness, because the power of God that works in our life must also work in a human body that is by its physical design weaker than the spiritual greatness that is God. God's strength is made perfect as the transformation that happens in each of our lives should easily show to others the greatness that is God. Because of the power of God, like Paul, when we feel weak because of our body, because we are looked down or even persecuted, or because our body simply has a need for food, water, and clothing, when we are weak, we are made strong through the power of God. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I raise glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Spiritually, we are all of the same body and receive the same Spirit. But each of us receives the gifts of the Holy Spirit in different ways, meaning each of us receives the gift of the Holy Spirit with abilities given to us. Think of those abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to us as strengths. Through the Holy Spirit, each of us are given differing abilities or strengths. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, the source of our strength, brings strengths to each of us. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When Peter wrote that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting our cares on him, he also wrote that we have this common enemy, the devil, who like a roaring lion seeks our destruction. He then explained that we resist Satan through the strength of the faith, being steadfast in the faith, not giving in or giving up. The power of God leads us to understand that even though we have this common enemy who seeks our destruction, that through the power of God, through the forgiveness of sin that we have, we will be made perfect even though we suffer right now. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When writing to Timothy and asking Timothy to quickly come to him, Paul acknowledged that God was the source of his strength, that it was God who strengthened him. From the New Testament, we know the most prolific author of New Testament books had his share of trouble. What Paul did, he often did, feeling shorthanded. He asked Timothy to bring Mark to him, as Paul had to send some of those with him elsewhere for the furtherance of the gospel. Like some of us today have people in our life who bring trouble to us, Paul had Alexander the coppersmith who did much evil to Paul. Withstanding the words of Paul and seeming to pull people away from Paul, even with all those evil works Paul faced in his own life, he knew that the power of God would preserve him for the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I have left at Troas and Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I prayed God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It was Paul who reminded the Thessalonians of the need to pray so that he could be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, knowing not all people are people of faith. He also reminded them that it is God who establishes us, and that it takes the power of God. We are not established through the weakness of God. We are not kept from evil through the weakness of God. We are established and kept from evil through the power of God. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Paul told the Philippians that it was Jesus Christ who strengthened him. By this time he had lived a life of many challenges, sometimes living a life where his needs were easily met, and at other times seemingly in need. He understood the benefit to be content where he found himself because the power of God was the source of strength for him. For Paul, it was Jesus Christ who strengthened him, and for us, it is Jesus Christ who strengthens us today. Philippians 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Finally, Paul told the Ephesians to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, by putting on the whole armor of God so that the trickeries of Satan have no effect on us. He reminded them that even though we are responding to a physical world around us, what drives the problems that we have in our life is the spiritual wickedness that desperately seeks to remove us from the kingdom of God. We are to stand with truth using righteousness, faith, and salvation as defensive weapons, always ready to share the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God through the word of God, our offensive weapon, always remembering to pray for all who are of the family of faith. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Unlike Samson, our source of strength is not our hair, but comes through God and Jesus Christ, through the power of God and the forgiveness of sin that comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That power of God renews our strength when others might see us as weak, or even when we might think we are already weakened. We are established by God to be part of his kingdom. And as we first seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we affirm that the power of God is the source of our strength. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.